Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Guilty as hell. Others have had their rights violated, like Timothy
the kid up in Colorado, the Norfolk Four in Virginia, Stephen Airey case in California. There's several others. So they didn't get due process, even though they put on the uniform and defended the country so that we could maintain and protect and give the due process that's due to every citizen, whether he wears a uniform or is a civilian. So getting on to the births today, the new Georgia Peaches out there in 1696, James Oglethorpe was a colonizer, set up the state of Georgia, or the colony of Georgia. And Abigail Adams, the wife of the second president, John Adams, and a very brilliant woman who didn't get credit in her time, wrote a lot of beautiful letters, I understand, very literate. She was born today. And then one of the granddaddies of the travel business, Thomas Cook and Son, British Company, Thomas Cook was born today in 1809. And then this is very important, getting back to the military. Frank Kellogg was Secretary of State. I don't believe he was related to Kellogg's cornflakes of Battle Creek, Michigan. He was Secretary of State, and he in the Coolidge administration, and he tried to map out and get the rest of the major nations to do a naval disarmament. I think the formula was 553. Americans and the British were allowed to have five battleships each. I think the French were three. The French and the Italians and the Japanese were complaining, and they were very upset. It was called the Kellogg-Briand Act, and this is about the same time as Captain Billy Mitchell, or General Billy Mitchell, who was a famous aviator, a pioneer of the Army Air Corps, was saying that air power could defeat battleships, could sink battleships, and this was military heresy of the highest order, of the worst kind, and he was court-martialed. Court-martial of Billy Mitchell, famous film with Gary Cooper, and we'll get into more of that because it's very important, and this is what happens when military personnel who believe in something and who believe that they are doing their duty, but yet get they try their officers and politicians try to intimidate them, shut them up, and when that doesn't work, they rig a court-martial proceeding. Although in the Stephen Airey case, it's a little different. And this is what happened, and Colonel Lakin, his supporters feel that this feel very strongly that this is what happened to him. He wasn't even allowed to say goodbye to his family. I was not at that court-martial at, I think, Fort Meade. People were harassed, I understand, and they did everything they could to shut him, not only shut him up, to send a message to other military personnel who would dare question the president's failure to produce a birth certificate. So I wish he'd do this and shut everybody up so we can move on. And then today, for us music lovers, the great Giacomo Puccini was born today. He was also quite a ladies' man. Many great operas, probably the most popular were La Bohème, Madame Butterfly, Tosca, and, of course, my favorite, Turandot, which he didn't finish. Arrigo Boito finished it for him, and Arturo Toscanini did the premiere. And then, let's see, oh, yes, we had John Nance Garner. Now, here's the vice president that you ought to love. He was a Texas politician, and he was a vice president in one of FDR's administrations in 1933 to 41, and his statement that's probably written on his gravestone, the job isn't worth a bucket of warm spit. And so he was succeeded by Henry Wallace, I think, who was a closet communist, or he called himself progressive, but we are finding out that the people who use the name Progressive Labor Party, are either are in bed with the communists or are gone into the political closet and come out as progressives. And this is what happened after World War II. We were Uncle Joe Stalin. Everybody forgot about his purges, the 30 million people that he starved to death, because we were all interested in defeating Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini. And the Communist Party went into the closet. And after World War II, we saw what Churchill had been warning us, that Bolshevism should have been strangled in its cradle. And after World War II, Stalin would not withdraw his armies back into Russia. In fact, General Patton said give them the go-ahead and he'll kick their butts back into Russia where they belong. And that's one of the reasons why he may have died mysteriously. Some people think that General Patton was off because he was becoming a big political embarrassment and couldn't keep his mouth shut. The Communist Party in America went into the closet and came out as progressives. And whenever you see that term, you ought to wince, and put yourself together, hold yourself tight, because the communists screw everybody. And of course, they're not the only one. The Nazis do the same thing. The only difference between the two groups, the Nazis and the communists, is the colors are different. There are brown shirts and the black shirts, and the Russians wear the red handkerchiefs. And also today, the birthday of André Gide. He got a Nobel Prize for Literature, one of the great writers, great French writers. Excuse me. And we have Enver Pasha, who was, this is when Turkish politics went through an upheaval around the turn of the century. The Turkey used to be called the sick old man of Europe, and they had dominated the Balkans. They were in Greece. In fact, this is interesting. In television biography of Aristotle Onassis, there's a depiction of him being bedded by a Turkish officer who says, and I think I remember the script, where he says, "Have you ever been to bed with a man?" Something like that, and then the scene cuts. So, and the Turks were notorious for that, and this is one of the issues that has not been brought up, historical fact, irrefutable fact, that the Turks were known for their homosexuality. The Janissaries had their boys, and when they went out, the Turkish pirates, when they went out on their raids, they raided as far north into the Scandinavia and Latvia and Lithuania, all those places, and they brought back these boys, and they were put in a cadre and used not only as bed partners, but they were trained as shock troops, the Janissaries. They were very feared because they were very good at what they did. I don't know what they did in bed, but on the field they were fearsome. And then we have Deems Taylor, great American composer, wrote quite a few operas, which used to be popular during the 30s. They were performed at the Metropolitan Opera. We don't hear them now, but you can pick them up on Naxos CDs. They're worth listening to, you know, if you like American music, if you think American music should be heard more often. And then today we have, there's a dispute about that. Oh, yes. I should play this if I can find it. I'll probably play it Friday. Edward Bernays, he's the first public relations man. He was born in Vienna on this day, and he really set the standard, formats for public relations that we still use today, and even the politicians. And I had a rare tape from our archives on how they marketed General Eisenhower. And it was like, it's quite interesting. We'll play it again, and before the end of the year, because we're going to be featuring the best of the new Shadow, Best of Amicus Veritas audio, and that'll be played before the end of the year on one of these programs. And then, of those of you who remember all this romantic music, Stardust, Hoagy Carmichael was born in Indiana today. Excuse me. So let's see, who else do we have today? And then we have Andre Castellanos, he's another one from the 50s, a lot of schmaltzy music with a name like that. He was born in Russia. And then we had are these Defts? No, they can't be Defts. General Leclerc, he was featured in Patton. He's the French general, classmate, I think, but a contemporary of Charles de Gaulle. He was the guy who liberated Paris in 1944. And then one of the last Protestants to be Speaker of the U.S. House, James Wright. I think he got into some trouble. He was born today. And then Billie Jean King, who was supposed to be the first, one of the first women athletes to come out. And since I think the guy succeeded Jim Wright was Tip O'Neill, who was Roman Catholic from Boston, and that TV personality. God, I forgot who he was on MSN. I'm getting old. Who had worked for him. And we'll bring that up again because these are things that people should realize. And then Cujo, not the one in Stephen King, he was the first gorilla born in captivity in 1956 in the Columbus, Ohio Zoo. And then of the deaths today, we had Blackbeard the Pirate, 1446. He was executed. And then this is typical of the Spanish conquistadores and their colonial brutality. Roman Catholic priest Morales, he was executed by the Spanish. And what they used to do was garrote them. We'll get into more of that because there's a famous, if you want to see an interesting movie, one of the better ones that Marlon Brando did, it's called Burn. And it's about how not a hitman, but what we could call the forerunner of the guerrillas, the special forces types who hunt down guerrillas, and we've seen this type in Vietnam and in French Indochina, Algeria, and all of that. Excuse me. And then, let's see, what else happened today? Well, that's the wrong one. We don't have Pat Sajak today. Oh, and Butterfly McQueen. We've got to honor her. She was the mousy black maid in Gone with the Wind. Said, yes, Miss Scarlet. She died. She was burned in a fire in New York. Butterfly McQueen. She was born today. Daryl Zanuck, the great producer. His son, Richard Zanuck, took over some of his productions in Hollywood. And of course, Daryl Zanuck has put out these blockbusters. Probably the most famous is The Longest Day, about D-Day. And he's dead today. And then Walter Damrosch, he's the guy, a German-Jewish conductor, took over the New York Philharmonic, and they had the first premiere. They had the premiere of George Gershwin's Concerto in F for Piano and Rhapsody, the symphonic premiere of Rhapsody in Blue. Paul Whiteman and his jazz orchestra had the first premiere of Rhapsody in Blue, one of the most popular American music pieces. And let's see, of the events today, what's the matter? What happened here? And then we'll skip the events and move on. I'm a little slow because I'm still got some stuff in my system, all those antibiotics and things that put you to sleep when they operate on you. Among the worst censored cases and news items in 2010 were how judges get selected. Who selects the nominees? Who selects the prospective candidates, or do they select themselves? And who vets them? Nobody knows their background until they are on the bench, and even then they don't. And, you know, you never know. And people, you should pay attention to this, because whether you have a probate or a civil case, you don't know who's up there on that dais with a gavel looking down at you. You ought to know you're paying a salary. And these judges, especially in California, make over $175,000 a year, plus all the benefits, retirement, vacation. There's one or two, I think, that got affordable housing. They get all kinds of special perks, and you really ought to know who's sitting up there, could be judging you at some point in your life, or judging someone close to you, or someone that you think should be judged. So we'll get into more of that. And then the media morons. Who are these people that I always refer to as media morons? Media morons are the people who lie, who distort, and who omit the truth, and who know what the facts are of a case, and it doesn't get printed. It gets edited out. Something's coming down the pike on correcting this type of reportage, if you can call it that, or more appropriately, propaganda. But I've had fights with these people over the last 30 years, that they know what's going on. For instance, in the Steve Murray case, the way it was reported back in March of 1996, that he gave himself up. He didn't give himself up. He was taken off the U.S. Carl Vinson by using a fraudulent document on a Friday morning here on the West Coast, which on the East Coast, Washington and the Pentagon shuts down. So nobody knew what was happening. And then on April 1st, they burned the body of the rapist, the illegal alien, concealed his AIDS, his tuberculosis, suspected hepatitis, and then tried to get the kid to do, the sailor to do a plea bargain, and the whole thing would have been moot. But he was made of stronger stuff. Maybe it's his Native American heritage, ethnicity. But this is among, these are the people who reported on this, and we have the hard copy, kept it. It's really moronic reporting. And the same thing that happened with back in the 50s with Dr. Samuel Shepard, an osteopath. And that's, Shepard was not related. We haven't found any connection to this flake in Wyoming, this wealthy kid. Family was oil buccaneers in Arabia, who, according to Bill Brumbaugh and other people who are familiar with that case, and, of course, Jack Cashel, the author who wrote What's the Matter with California, and believe me, there is a lot, that Shepard had possibly had AIDS, and also he had in fact, he had assaulted a Mexican kid, got in a fight, and the kid demanded an AIDS test, which nobody knew what the results were. And also, when he was at this bar, the barmaids reported that he would sexually harass some of the younger boys there. And what brought about the death, he was apparently in a sexual relationship with one of his killers. What they did to him was very, very wrong, and they deserved to be tried, although they weren't. There's a lot of questions about what that mother did. She also set up a Matthew Shepard Foundation, in which she pulls out $100,000 a year. Nobody knows what that woman does or who she does. Then the other thing that's interesting about it is that this whole thing was a drug deal gone bad. That Shepard owed these people, these two guys, some money, or one of them, and they went to collect the money, and then the whole situation freaked out, and they did this horrible, prolonged torture of this kid. But, you know, you make your bed and you die in it. He was involved in drugs. He was involved with people that were drug dealers, were ne'er-do-wells, and homosexual propaganda press decided to use this to further push their agenda, just as they are using Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They've already signaled what they've going to do with that. They're politicized, and they're going to be pushing for gay marriage, which means that they'll be pushing for military personnel who are openly gay and lesbian and NAMBLA to be able to have a gay marriage. This is permitted, or was. There was a case in Canada where the guy, a young guy, not only had the gay marriage, but decided to get transgendered. We had a case here in San Francisco at the Veterans Administration that came up on my YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, where the guy, in fact, there are several of these cases, where these veterans have decided that they want to undergo the change. These are male veterans. Now, there's also a notorious case out of the U.S. Naval Academy where a guy, I won't mention the source, he was in a class back in 1962, and there was this reunion a couple years ago, and this guy shows up in a dress, and nobody recognized him, and he said he had undergone the change and all of that. Even Ernest Rome, who was political godfather of open gays in the military, over 300,000 men, gay men, were in his SA, and the Night of the Long Knives, which has culminated in, after all of the abuses, the extortion, the sexual orgies that Rome and his compatriots indulge in, and just made everybody sick, including the regular German army and the German officer corps, as well as the industrialists. And he's the one who said he was very left-wing, and he's the one that said Hitler was too conservative. So this is part of that agenda. Excuse me. So we're going to see more of this. It isn't over. And then for next year, we'll be doing more interviews. We're transferring them from tape. I'm surprised some of the tapes survived. And we'll have Dr. Michael Fox, a wolf veterinarian. We'll have Gladys Sargent, Mel Belli on representing the plaintiffs in the Bhopal environmental disaster over there in the subcontinent. I will have more rare military interviews. I'm trying to find my Canadian stuff. This is stuff you will not hear on any other media in the world. And just like Brigadier Ingalls and also Colonel Hodges. A lot of these guys did not do interviews. I had to search them out to get this stuff, and there are exclusives. And then one of my favorite, Dr. Childers, formerly in the U.S. Army. I think he was in Patton's Army, and we did an interview on how did Patton treat his horses, among other things, and what a veterinarian does in the Army. And then the military is quite interesting. And we've had, of course, General Berrigan, famous family, and who was the deputy director at Normandy who built the Mulberry Bridges, although Mulberry Bridges were a British invention. Got to give them credit. So there'll be more, and so in 2010, and then we'll have more public policy questions. I'm hoping to get San Francisco policemen to talk about how cops profile people. This is very interesting. And as one of my phrases is, we leave no blade of grass untouched, no grain of sand or dirt unsifted, and no rock overturned or not. yeah. So let's end early. I'm just getting back on my feet. So we'll play our usual, excuse me, it won't be Taps, although some people wish I did. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Toss your five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Nine,
five.
King, two.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shovelmouth and tarp, and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet him.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panjachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running next
This is Peter Paul Mazzola. See you Friday. Good night. Thanks.